Welcome to the Simple Online Business Podcast. I'm your host, Samantha Siffring. I'm a business coach and agency owner, and each week I'll be here to share simple, doable steps you can take to build a profitable and sustainable online business. Let's get to it. Hello. All right, we are going to talk about the ick today, specifically the ick around selling and why selling can feel really gross and feel icky and feel wrong or off or unnatural to us. I want to talk through why we feel that way about selling and how you can overcome that. Because the reality is, if you're listening to this podcast, most likely you are a business owner. And if you're a business owner, selling is part of your job. It is how you make money in your business, offering your work to people and them saying yes. And that's what selling is. So we have to be okay with selling. We have to have a good relationship with selling to have a successful business and be able to achieve our goals and make money and have our business be our livelihood the way that we want it to be. So let's start with why selling gives us the ick sometimes. What is it about selling that feels bad? So it's not actually just innate to selling. So selling is not the problem. Selling does not just innately, naturally have a gross feeling to it. Selling feels gross because of several reasons. The first one is gross prior or current experiences that you have had personally. So typically we notice selling when it has been done poorly, and we don't notice it when it's been done really well. I think of selling as very similar to plastic surgery. This is something I always say about it, about like all kinds of cosmetic things. And if you don't like cosmetic things, you'll probably be, you know, laughing. Or even if you do, you're going to be laughing at this because it's kind of funny how it's linked to selling. But plastic surgery, Botox, fillers, all the things, you know that they're there when they are obvious. And that's when they've been done in a way that is not great or is not the way that most people would prefer for it to be. It doesn't look natural. And that is how selling is too. You notice it when somebody's doing it in a weird way, when somebody's doing it in an uncomfortable way, when they are selling you something that you don't want, or the person selling the thing is someone that you don't like, or that just has a weird vibe to them, or comes across pushy or sleazy. It's not the selling, it's how this person is selling to you. And we truly don't pay as much attention to selling that feels natural, that feels good. We probably wouldn't even label it selling. We don't think of it as selling. We think of it as, oh, well, I just wanted that thing and I went in there and the person who is the salesperson helped me to get it. Like, it feels very helpful. It feels informational. It feels welcoming. It doesn't feel like how we think of selling because of how we define selling. And part of that is because of our cultural narratives around sales and what selling is. Think about, you know, in pop culture, in movies, in TV, when you think about selling, what comes up for you? Probably used car salesmen that are creepy, that are pushy, that are over the top, annoying, that you would be afraid to walk into their used car lot because they're going to be all over you and they are not going to leave you alone until you buy a car or leave. These are the types of things that we think about when we think about selling. So of course we think it's gross and terrible. Also, as women, we have very specific socialization, very specific ways that we have been modeled and taught to show up as a woman. To be humble, to not self-promote, to not be too forward, to wait for the other person, to wait to be noticed, wait to be asked, wait to be talked to. and to not do a lot of the very assertive types of things associated with selling, to not put ourselves out there, to not ask things of others. So what I notice with a lot of my clients is this drive to offer more and more for free to the people that they want to help, because they're like, well, this is what women do. We help other people and we do it for free. And guess what? That is not a recipe for a great business. So if you're wanting to grow a business, yes, help people, but no, not give it all away for free. It's also tricky to sell because for a lot of us, our issues around rejection are triggered by selling because we're putting ourselves out there. It feels vulnerable, especially when it's your passion, it's your strength, it's the things that you're really good at, that you really care about, that you're putting in the world. And people will tell you no, because when you're selling, not every person says yes. So there's this opportunity for rejection every single time. And that feels terrible. It really does. And I think that, you know, it takes a lot of personal work to become okay with that and to figure out how do I want to come to terms with the fact that rejection is going to be a part of the process. And finally, I think something that can make it feel a little awkward or weird or icky is that the other person's acceptance and yes is linked to you achieving your goals and your livelihood, which I think is weird, right? Like, I think a lot of us probably want to feel like achieving our goals is totally in our own hands. And when we're selling, we really become aware of the fact that somebody else's decision is in the way or is like the gate that we have to go through to achieve our goals. So this can feel uncomfortable. And I think that it can have us feeling very attached to getting a yes in a particular sales conversation and attaching whether we achieve our goals or not, or make money or not, on this particular person. And not being as present and not being as in service to that person. So something that I see a lot about sales from other business coaches and other entrepreneurs is that they think sales is the problem or sales calls are the problem. So consult calls, discovery calls. I see so many people who are so against discovery calls and so many coaches who will brag about how they don't do discovery calls anymore. And honestly, I think that this is very weird. Like, I think that this idea of like my ideal client will pay so much money without getting on a call with me, I don't think that that's a flex. I think sales calls can and should be very comfortable to both people. And I think you become comfortable by how you think about the call and how you think about selling and from how you have gained experience and expertise in leading the call. So it's both your thinking and the expertise that you've developed that create your comfort. And then your potential client will be comfortable because of how you lead the call. And if you are hearing this feeling like lead the call, how do I do this? How do I develop the expertise? How do I become more comfortable and confident and present and all those things? I have an entire video on how to do this in my membership, Booked Out Without Burnout. It walks you through the entire process of a discovery call. I give you an outline. I give you sample language. I make it very easy for you to run a call like this in a way that feels good and natural to you. That is not pushy. That is not pushing the other person to buy something they don't want. That is not just a way for you to feel comfortable selling, a way that you can sell that will feel comfortable to the person on the call with you. And isn't that what we all really want? So I really, really encourage you, if this is something you struggle with, go join Booked Out Without Burnout, watch that video and start putting it into practice. So now let's talk about how do we overcome the ick. We've talked about what creates the ick, and then I have told you that I am heavily in favor of doing discovery calls. I think that they are such a service to your potential clients when you particularly are selling a high ticket offer or like one-on-one coaching or something like that, where you're going to have a close relationship with this person. How are they supposed to decide that they want to work with you if they haven't even talked to you? And how are you supposed to know that you want to work with them without that conversation? So let's talk about how to stop feeling so icky about it. The first thing is that you need to remember, if you have somebody on a discovery call with you, they booked the call. Why would they book the call if they were not interested? People book discovery calls because they are interested in you and in your work. They want your help. And you are selling something that people actually want. That's why they're there on the call. I think for so many people, this is just such a helpful reminder. Like, oh yeah, they booked the call because they want to have this conversation with me. They want to talk about what it looks like to work together. They want to get my help. This is not some weird thing where they have walked into a store and now they've been cornered. You know, like, this is somebody who wants to talk to you about your work. They want this conversation. They literally asked you for this conversation. You also want to remember the purpose of the call. This is so important. The purpose of a discovery call, a sales conversation of any kind, is not about getting the yes. It's not about taking somebody from a no to a yes. The goal is not to get 100% yes. It's not about tricking someone into being a yes. It's not about pressuring someone into being a yes. And it's not about convincing them to be a yes. No is a good result. And yeah, it can be frustrating to get a no when you have goals and when you would really like to be getting a yes, because that means you're going to be getting a client. But a no is a good result, and it is an equally valid result of a consult call. Those conversations are to help you figure out if this is a yes or a no. That means that a yes and a no are both good results and valid results. And the purpose of the call also is helping them. So you really want to focus on them and be present with them. I think being present is the most important thing that you can do in any sales conversation. Really be with this person, listening to this person, paying attention to this person, picking up on the things that they are saying that don't make sense or the things that they're not saying. You really want to be there for them. I always want somebody to feel like a discovery call that they've had with me has been helpful, whether we decide to work together or not. And that takes me to this idea of the discovery call or consult call or sales conversation, however you think of it, however you're running it. It is a mutual interview process. That means it is both of you figuring out if this is a yes. It is not an interview where you are trying to prove yourself. It is a mutual interview process. So you want to be clear in your own mind about who your work is for and not for. You want to know who you don't work with, and you want to know, how do I know the difference? How do I spot this is a good person to work with me and this is not? And if you're hearing this and if you're thinking, okay, who is it not for? And your mind is going to, nobody, I can help everyone. This is something you need to work on, defining who it's not for. And you can ask some really good filtering questions on the intake form. So like when somebody's booking the call with you, you can ask them some really good questions to figure out, is this person a good fit, and kind of do a little pre-screening and pre-investigation. You also want to make sure that you're asking good questions during the call. This is the primary thing that happens on most discovery calls that I do. I ask good questions. I ask tough questions. Actually, my process for a discovery call personally is I really like to, before the call, look and see how much I can find out about the person and their business, what they do, what the offers are, all the things. I kind of get my like initial first impressions of them and their business. And then I also, in the pre-screening form, like to hear a little bit about their goals and what they're struggling with, what they're looking for, what they want to talk about with me. And then on the call, I then fill in any blanks that exist in my mind or address any concerns that I have. The thing that I'm looking for when I have a consult call with somebody is how confident am I that I can help them reach their goal with this particular offer that we're talking about. And so I really pay attention to if I have any reservations. Like, am I 100% sure that I could help this person achieve this goal? As I'm recording this, I recently had a consult call with somebody where I had some reservations. I looked at the offer that they had and the goal that I knew that they had, and it was not going to add up for me with their audience size, the price of the offer, the structure of their business. It was presenting challenges that I had a hunch that this person would not want to have to deal with. Like, it was setting up a business that was a little more complicated and more work than I think this person really wanted it to be. It wasn't as simple of a business as I thought that they wanted, but I could see why they picked it. I could see why it felt like it was the right move to achieve their goals. So on the call, I asked them about the offer. You know, why did you design it this way? What's your thought there? What made you choose this? And then also said, you know, transparently, here's what I'm thinking when I see this, when I see the goal that you have, I see the offer that you have, here's the concerns or questions that I have that I think we need to answer. And those were the things to me that felt like we need to work through these things for me to feel confident that I can help you. And this person was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for giving me that feedback, for telling me that. This makes so much sense. I'm very receptive to making changes. And that's what I needed to hear to know, perfect. We have all of the building blocks here to turn this into the business that they really want to have. We just need to rearrange them a little. And then you're going to be on the right path. It's going to be awesome. Let's do this. You know, I felt so confident. And that's what I'm always looking for as the person who's running the call. How confident am I that I can help them? And then anything that makes me not confident, I bring it up on the call and figure out, is this something we can resolve or are we not compatible? So this leads into the next thing, which is be honest. I am a pretty unfiltered person, so it's not a challenge for me to be honest on the call. Like I said, I give very honest feedback on calls with people. I am very focused on, can I help this person? And, you know, why do I feel that way? Why not? And I share those things. Another way to think about being honest, or a way that this can show up, is sharing your price in advance. If you are somebody who feels like discovery calls are a struggle for you when you get to the part where you have to share your offer and your price, and it feels like you're dropping this bomb on them that's like a total shock, why would you not just tell them the price? I really encourage you to consider sharing the price, or like a starting at, and then the number, or my packages range from blank to blank. I think that this is going to help you so much when you go into a call, because then you know this person knows the price. As I'm recording this, I'm in the process of doing a bunch of discovery calls for my mastermind. And one of the questions that I have on the intake form is specifically about the price. Like, if we're a good fit to work together and this is like a mutual yes, Are you ready to make this kind of investment? And I have three answers, and it's yes, paying in full with the amount. Yes, paying monthly payments of the amount. And then I also have a maybe I want to talk about it. Notice how I don't put a no, because my discovery calls are for people who are at least open to talking about it and figuring it out if joining is the right decision for them. So I think putting that out there is both super helpful for the potential client so they know what kind of investment this is and they can make decisions accordingly. And I think it's also really helpful for us to know, oh, this person checked yes, payment plan, or yes, pay in full. Perfect. Or even maybe I want to talk about it. All right. I know what kind of headspace they're in. So I strongly encourage you to do that. And then also, this to me is not a non-negotiable. Do not do the bait and switch. Do not advertise the call as free coaching and then twist it into a sales conversation. And there's a difference between having a free coaching call where you're giving value and you're serving and the person says, how can I work with you? Can you tell me about how to work with you? Can you tell me about your packages? How can I pay you? Something like that. And then you saying, okay, let's talk about it. Versus you advertising free coaching call and then you run it exactly like a discovery call. Like it was a discovery call, sales call all along, and you were putting a sneaky cover over it, disguising it as a free coaching call to get people to book it. You know which one you are doing. So if you're somebody who's like, oh no, have I been doing this because on a free call, somebody asked about how to work with me? No. You know if you are doing the bait and switch, so don't do the bait and switch. But it is also totally okay to have a free coaching call where somebody loves it so much that on that call, they ask how they can work with you. You also want to be curious. To me, this is such a magic energy feeling to tap into on the call. This is my mode. Like I said, I am figuring out, do I believe that I can help them hit their goal? Why or why not? And then filling in all the blanks and answering all of the why nots on the call. That comes from curiosity. I feel curious about the person's business and their problem and how I can help and trying to solve the puzzle of how do we help them get their goal. I get very into it, very excited. It is like I'm literally solving a puzzle. So I think being in this energy of curiosity is so valuable, and it's going to then help you pick up on things. So here's an example of how curiosity can really serve you. If this person is in a very busy season of their life, and that is the reason that they give you for why they're not moving forward with working with you, I want you to remember that they chose right now to book this call. And those two things don't make sense. If somebody books a call with you to talk about working with you, and then at the end says, oh, I'm just like in a really busy season of life right now. I would love to do this, you know, a month, 3 months, a year, whatever from now. That doesn't make sense. And there's a way to point that out without being pushy. Now, sometimes people are just like, this is the socially acceptable way for me to say no. And that's fine. But I am like, why not just be honest about it? Like if it's a no, let's just let it be a no. You know, like, why do we have to lie? You can tell the value of honesty that I have. Like, let's just be upfront about it. Like, if it is a no, it's a no. We don't have to pretend it's because you're busy. You booked the call right now. But more commonly than that, the thing that I've noticed is that people don't want to make a decision. It's uncomfortable to make a decision. When you say yes to something, you're saying no to other things. When you're saying yes to something, you are opting into seeing yourself in a different way. When you are making a big investment, it is scary for a lot of reasons for many, many people. So of course, somebody is not going to want to make a decision if they can just put it off for a little while. Think about how many times you've done that. I recently bought a group coaching program or joined a group coaching program, and I found out about it a couple weeks before I actually bought it. And I had it saved as a tab in my browser. Like, I know I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to sign up for it right now. And there was no good reason. There's truly no good reason. And it was a couple weeks after that that I was on a call with my sister. I was telling her, I'm going to do this program. Isn't it so cool? Look at the sales page. But I'm not going to sign up now. I'm waiting. And then I was like, that is so weird. I'm just going to check out now while we're talking about it. Because like, why would I not? So if even me is doing that, of course, all of our people are going to do that as well. So curiosity allows you to point out those things. Curiosity allows you to help somebody to make a really clear decision and to understand how they make decisions. And I think especially if you're a coach, this is such a service to your people to help them to get more awareness. Like, isn't that such a core part of what coaching is, to help people understand their patterns? And I think that this curiosity is such a gift. And I'll tell you, I have been pretty invasive on consult calls with my curiosity with people. And I can't think of a bad experience that I've ever had where the person like really shut down and was offended. So I think that it's all about the energy that you're in, the way that you're coming across, the way that you're approaching it. Like I said, I'm never approaching it from the trying to get a yes space. And I think when you're in that space of trying to get a yes, and then you're pointing out their inconsistencies and questioning them, it can feel really uncomfortable to the person. But if you're truly there, like, hey, I'm here to help. You've told me you want this thing, and you booked the call right now, and now you're telling me you want to wait on this thing. What's really going on? That doesn't exactly add up. It doesn't really make sense. What's underneath that? And I think a lot of times I'll even say, like, if it's a no, it's a no. That's totally fine. But if there's something under there that you want to coach on, that you want to talk about and explore, I'm happy to do that with you. And people are appreciative. So don't be afraid to be curious and ask the hard questions. All right. One more quick business hack for you along the lines of selling and discovery calls and getting clients. This, I think, is one of the best hacks ever. When your marketing is great, when your marketing is really speaking to your ideal client, when it is really attracting in your best person, repelling the person that your work is not for, when your content is super compelling and valuable, your person, most of the time, is already going to be a yes when they come to the call. And these days, that is the primary experience that I have with people, is that they are already a yes when they come to the call. And it's more likely that they have a couple little questions, or that I have some questions for them, and we talk through the questions and then we feel good to go. But it's not like a full-on sales pitch kind of conversation. They are pretty much already a yes. Or sometimes I will get people who DM me who are like, I don't need a call. I'm already a yes. Can you just invoice me? And if I've already worked with them, I will typically say yes. But if it's a new client for like a mastermind or one-on-one coaching, then I really like to have a call and make sure we get to know each other and I know who they are and all of that before we get started. So if you are hearing that and you're like, I want to have great marketing, I want my people to be already a yes on the call, I encourage you to join Booked Out Without Burnout, my membership. I talk about this idea of already being a yes on the call is a huge premise of that program. And my work is really making sure you're great at communicating what you do to the people that you want to work with so that they are already a yes just from the marketing that you're putting out there. Okay. I hope that you now feel a little more positive about selling and that we have overcome the ick. If that has happened for you, I would love to hear about it. So please do some rating and reviewing wherever you listen to the podcast. If you are connected to me on social media, let me know what stood out to you, what you liked about this, how this helped. If you are somebody who feels the ick sometimes, come talk to me about it in my free Facebook group, Online Business Building Women, or come connect with me on Instagram or Threads. And I will see you all back here next week. If you loved this episode, I'd appreciate it so much if you rated and reviewed the podcast and shared it with other business owners who you think would like it too. And if you'd like to get more business advice and tips from me, come join me in my free Facebook group, Online Business Building Women.